Joining me on the phone now is Dr. Roslyn Fuller. Good morning, Dr. Roslyn. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad at all. Roslyn, you're going to talk to us today about real democracy. It's probably something that people hear real democracy, they probably wonder what that means. So we start there. Maybe you could explain to us what real democracy is.
Yeah, well, actually what we're doing is an exercise in what I would call maybe digital democracy. The kind of democracy that we have in most Western countries is representative democracy. So you vote for a representative usually once every 4 or 5 years, and in between people don't participate very much in politics. And I actually come from a background of doing a lot of research into democracy. And one of the things I learned is that in Athens, where this kind of government was allegedly invented, people thought of democracy in a much different way. They thought of democracy in a way where people participated on a nearly daily basis. People were paid for their participation. And the elections were something that were kind of relegated to the side. And were felt, in fact, to be more oligarchic than democratic.
Oh, I see. So our idea of what we think democracy is today is far removed from what the founders of democracy had envisaged.
Yeah, that's correct. What we have today is a very kind of thin form of democracy. Because, you know, for a long time, the ancient Athenians lived about 2,500 years ago. So for a long time in between, of course, you know, we had kings, we had monarchies. And when democracy was revived a few hundred years ago, states were much, much larger. And it was only really feasible to send people off to somewhere where they could physically meet face-to-face, because it wouldn't be possible for everyone to meet face-to-face. And that's why we kind of ended up with this thin kind of democracy. But if we think about technology and the internet, we can see that it's now possible to reconnect people in a way that hasn't been possible for a long time.
Yeah, I suppose, as you say, in the digital age that we're in, and you only have to go onto social media any day of the week on any given subject, and we see again, unfortunately, in the last few days, lots of stuff happening around the world where everything's piling in with an opinion. Is that kind of a version of what you're talking about, where everyone gets to have a say?
Well, in that, what we're doing is a little bit more directed than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, you know, you can go on social media and you can comment, that's true, but it's not directed at making a decision, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite possible to go on Twitter or Facebook and complain about something, but you don't have to think of something better to do. What we're doing is we're doing an experiment where people are asked questions. You can comment on those questions. You can leave information. You can rate how you feel about them on a scale instead of just yes or no. You can make suggestions for future alternatives. So it's kind of about deepening democracy and deepening participation, but in a much more directed way than you would have on social media.
I understand. Now, the cynic in me is screaming, should they never allow this to happen? You know, the people with the power, the politicians, the people who make great livings and great careers out of being involved in government, they're never going to buy into an idea where there's a more direct connect between ordinary people. I hate that phrase, but we'll use it for want of a better word. Ordinary people and those in power. Would you feel that you'd get a bit of pushback from that side of things?
Yes, definitely, I think so, because, of course, it is in the interest of people who are in power to not want to give it up. For that reason, I ran in the last election as an independent because I would like to start implementing this system myself. And at the moment, I'm running this kind of experiment or exercise to give people a deeper understanding of what a digital democracy could look like, so people understand it not just as a kind of an abstract idea, but people can start practicing it for now in a non-binding fashion, but hopefully in the future in a binding fashion.
Indeed. And just moving on now, as you say, you've explained how is it going to work. I see that there's technology involved and there's software involved. Maybe you tell us a little bit about how that would work and how people could use it.
Yeah, well, the software we're going to be using is called Othello, which was actually a Canadian-developed software by a social enterprise. And what will happen is you have to sign up for it, and you can do that at fullerdemocracy.com. And if you do sign up, then you'll get an email when it starts, and you can go online and participate. And what you will see is you'll see different topics, like, for example, taxation, social justice, environment, things like that. And if you click on those, it will give you a range of sub-options under there. But you don't just have to click yes or no, do you agree with something. As I said, it's kind of a 9-point range. We also really want people to participate on this, so we're looking for anyone who has suggestions or expertise of what should be asked, expertise on the budgetary aspect of how much various proposals would cost. So it's also not just about going through and saying, yes, I want this and I want that and I want the next thing. People are also asked to think about how much each of these options cost, so that will be on there as well. But people can see, you don't just go on there. The difference between this and the survey, one of the key differences, is that in the survey you would fill it out by yourself at home, and you wouldn't know what everyone else thinks. You won't be able to see what a specific other person thinks. So you couldn't look up, you know, what your aunt said or what your neighbor said or something like that. But you can see how the aggregate things. So you can see, oh, you know, 90% of people are in favor of banning fracking or something like that. So you'll have that immediate transparency that's unfiltered on there.
Yeah. Just to start, will it roll out all over Ireland, or is it going to roll out in a smaller area first?
At the moment, we're looking just at the area covered by County Fingal.
Oh, we see.
So that's what we're aiming for at the moment. And that's not because the software can handle more than that. We could theoretically do it for all of Ireland. But of course, we have a huge campaign to do, making sure everyone's aware of it and getting people signed up of it so that everyone knows about it before it starts. So that's why we're kind of starting in a smaller area for now.
Yeah. And in setting this up, I'm guessing you would have talked with members of the public, and you would have been out kind of talking to people about this whole idea. What's the reaction been? How have people reacted to the idea?
Yeah, we've already got quite a few people signed up, so that's great. No, I think people realize, especially with, as you say, the events that are going around in the world. I mean, if we look at the USA with Donald Trump, or we look at what's going on in Britain, I think there's been a recognition that the way we practice democracy maybe isn't sufficient. And in some ways, you have to consider that what happens now in the space of 4 or 5 years is a lot more than would have happened, you know, 100 years ago or 200 years ago.
Yeah.
In the space of 4 or 5 years. Events move very, very quickly now. We're not able to react in time. So I think people are recognizing that there is a disconnect between what the word on the street is, and I think that social media has helped a lot in this, knowing what is the word on the street or what is the sentiment on the street and what's happening in the Dáil or in Parliament in the UK. So I think people are actually, I was surprised at how receptive people are to this.
Yeah, absolutely. But and you know, just as I said, I mentioned it already with the system and the system of government that we employ in this country and everything, people might be a bit sceptical and saying, yeah, but will it really make a difference? Obviously, you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't think it would, but how would you convince people that it's worthwhile getting involved?
For starters, if we don't start now, things will never change, right? There's no way forward. We have to start somewhere. We have to show that this can work. I mean, a lot of the typical pushback you get from people who are in power is, oh, people don't understand issues, people will just, you know, threaten each other on social media and things like that. We really find that when we look at studies not to be true. People are generally quite well informed. You know, threatening behavior and things like that generally tends to be very, very minimal compared to the total volume of communication. So this is about kind of, you know, first of all, taking the lie out of many of those very kind of lazy assumptions that people have about, as you said, ordinary people. I don't like that term either, but I often don't know how else to describe it, right? So
yeah.
It's about taking the wind out of the sails of those kind of objections. But also, I think if we do this, politicians often do try to guess what people think, because of course they do like to be popular. If you look at the debate on the Eighth Amendment, it's a classic example where the major parties are trying to sit on the fence and play both sides because they're not sure yet where the majority lies. So I think we will see people looking towards data like this, even if they maybe won't say so. So I think it definitely is worth getting out there, getting your voice heard. Make sure, you know, if you have a certain opinion on something, it's very important that you get out there and vote on it, because otherwise people will think maybe that the majority is somewhere where it doesn't actually. You know, so really encouraging people, take matters into your own hands and get out there and say what you think. And also, by all means, you know, participate. Share what you know with other people, because no one person has all of the answers, you know. No one can know what everyone in our constituency thinks. It's important for you to get out there and contribute what you know.
Yeah, I think I've often found it interesting, you know, to talk to people when there'd be elections on and everything else, and they don't know who their representatives are. They never see them, and a lot of people get angry that they only see their representatives at election time. I suppose with a process like this, ultimately, as it gathers a pace and people's opinions are being heard and they get stronger and stronger, that's going to kind of change that dynamic, because if the representatives are interested in staying representatives, they're going to have to engage with this. And instead of them only coming to people every 5 years or whatever it may be, they may have to engage on a lot more regular basis. I mean, I know people can go to see their representatives now, but you don't often get the representatives coming to the people. And this may kickstart a change in that process.
Yeah, well, we're definitely hoping that's the case. I mean, of course, when I was out canvassing myself, you notice how many doors there are to knock on, and you're trying to get to all of them.
Yeah.
It's a lot, but that's kind of what this is about. It is in a way too much for one person to handle. And how do you represent people who maybe have, you know, contradicting views? How do you really know what people want? It's very, very, it's actually, with the best will in the world, it's very difficult to know that. But yes, you do hear that a lot, that people only come around when it's election time. Obviously, we're trying to get beyond that, and we're going out, you know, canvassing. We're at train stations trying to make people aware of their opportunities and possibilities here. But yeah, I think so. I think if you make things impossible for people to ignore, then I think you have a much better chance to kind of insert yourself into the process in between elections.
Indeed. Well, listen, Rosalind, it sounds hugely interesting. I'm looking forward to having a look at it myself, because I think the more people's voices are heard, the better it is for everybody ultimately. So people are listening and they want to sign up. What do they do?
Just go to www.fullerdemocracy, so it's F-U-L-L-E-R, democracy.com, and sign up. You can also leave, your information there if you want to, provide expertise. If you know a lot about economics or some, health or another issue, by all means, tick that box and we'd definitely be in touch.
Yeah.
And if you want people to contribute to making it as well.
And if people are outside the Fingal area, it's still okay for them to go in, have a look around and a nosy and things like that, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. You can do that. We'll probably actually, a lot of people have been asking me from different parts of Ireland and actually even different countries. So
yeah.
We'll probably put up a kind of a place in the beginning before you go into it, so you can check where you actually live, so we can sort everything out later. You know, so yeah, definitely, even if you don't live in County Fingal, go in and take a look for sure.
Okay, Rosalind, well, listen, thanks very much for talking to us this morning and telling us all about that. I'm definitely thinking this digital age, this new internet age that we're in, there's certainly a place for people to be more proactive and interactive with their representatives and the democracy. So best of luck with it, and we'll talk to you again in the future, maybe see how you're going on. Is that okay?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Not at all, it's our pleasure. Thank you very much, Rosalind. Take care.
Thanks, bye.
All the best, bye-bye.